servant of God, James, the brother of Jesus, James, the pastor of the church at Jerusalem, James. Chapter 1, we're going to read 4 verses of scripture, and that's all I think we can handle on today. Amen. Amen. There, I feel like Paul, when he said there's some other things, or Jesus rather, when he says there's some things I want to tell you, but you can't handle them right now. Amen. Amen. James chapter 1, verse 1. And referencing the word of God. And when you have it, say, I have the word, ready to receive it. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes of which scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Amen. May God of the blessing, those hears and doers of his word, the grass wither, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. Amen. Praise be to our God, our King, glorious one, maker and creator of heaven and earth. This epistle of James continues to run into the thoughts and topic or titles that God has given me. I want to use for a thought this morning a title, a topic, a tag to this message, the joy of patience. Amen. The joy of patience. James comes to us and says that he's first off a servant of God. Now, James could have easily pulled his card out and said, listen, I'm the natural brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it seems that James, if you would have pulled that card, so many more people would have listened to what you had to say. But James says, it's not important who I am naturally, but it's more important of my relationship with him spiritually. Amen. Amen. Because we can have a natural relationship with people, but if our relationship with God ain't right, we ain't going to be able to treat the people right no way. Amen. They used to sing that song, teach me how to love my neighbor. And, you know, the Lord can only teach you that because some of us have some neighbors. Now, who is our neighbor? We have some people who makes it difficult for us to love them. But because you have a relationship with God, you can do those things that you're supposed to do. James says, I'm a servant of God and to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there was some debate one time with a fellow. He said, well, why would James say the servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ if Jesus and God is the same person? Well, the word Lord there in the text is the word kairos, which it means God. It means Lord or master. Amen. And so there is not the word and there is not to be to indicate a separation, but it is to indicate a connection, because that's what a conjunction does, right? And so the connection says that I'm a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. James was saying here the word servant is not just saying that I'm just somebody who do some things whenever they're around. Because you know how you have some people, they go and they say, well, I'm going to be your server today. As long as you're here, I'll serve you. But when you're gone, I don't have to serve you, right? James said, no, that's not what James was saying. The word servant there is a word that means that I am possessed totally by the one who I serve. What was James saying? James is saying that I've been bought with a price. And since I don't belong to myself, I'm going to serve the one who bought me. Now here, I can relate that to ourselves here because we've all been bought. The Bible said we've been purchased by the precious blood of the Lamb. But are we serving the one who has purchased us with his own blood? Are we serving the one who should be possessing our life and have total possession of us to do what he has called us to do? I know that many times we say that we have a purpose. I got a purpose. But you know what? We really don't. Don't turn me off when I say that. We really don't have a purpose. He has a purpose. Let me show you why. Because Romans 8 says, all things work together for the good of them who are called according to his purpose. He has a purpose. And the only reason we exist is to bring glory to his name. Now, when we start trying to find our own way and we start saying, that's my purpose, I got to find my way. No, you need to find him because he is the way. Y'all with me this morning? I said a few things that should have been, We don't need to find our own way. We need to find him because he is the way. Commit thy way unto the Lord. He will what? Direct your path. God is the way. He's the only way, amen. James goes on to say, he said, I'm a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greeting. Now, you got to understand, James happens to be, he has become probably a famous man by now because he is the pastor and the bishop of the church at Jerusalem, which was the mother church of all churches, right? So here he was, the bishop over every church that ever existed in that time in Christendom. And he's writing to the 12 tribes. Now, maybe these 12 tribes, people do not know exactly who the 12 tribes, where they are, what has happened to them. But he was saying that I'm writing to everybody everywhere that have been part of Israel. I want to make sure that I get you, whoever you are, wherever you are. There's been some debate here recently. Many of the young black men are rising up with their heritage and saying, I'm of Israel. But James is writing here. He says to wherever you are, if you're scattered, I'm writing to you because you need to understand something. You need to understand. And so I want to make sure nobody is missed. So everybody that's scattered. Now, the thing about this, you wonder what was it that scattered them? It was tribulation. It was persecution. It was hard times and hardships and heartbreaks. All of this is what scattered them abroad. So what's scattering us? But the thing about it is that we get scattered and we forget our God. We get scattered and we forget our King. We get scattered and we forget how to get back to where we once was in him. Number two, verse two says, my brethren, that was my introduction. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. James felt like there was a need for us to understand that we're going to go through some stuff. So the first point I want to make here is for us to focus when we fall. Tell somebody, say, focus when you fall. Oh, I know, I'm not falling, Pastor. The devil is a lie. Well, let me go back to the text here. He said, my brethren. The word brethren means they that are of the same womb. They that have been born the same way. So how was I born? I was born by the Spirit. Jesus said, you must be born of water and what? Spirit, Nicodemus, right? And so we've all been born of what? Spirit. And if we've been born of Spirit, he's talking to you. He's talking to the saved ones, the brethren, amen? Count it all joy when, not if, not maybe, but when you fall. Come on and say amen here. Now we got to understand something. He says that we need to reckon or count or begin to think about the fact that whenever we go through something, we need to have an attitude of joy. Now, how can you have joy when you're going through? Oh, I know how to have sadness and sorrow. I know how to get into depression real easy when I go through. I know how to cry when I go through. But how is it that I can get joy? Well, the Bible said that the joy of the Lord will be our strength. And so in order for me to get joy, I need to do what pleases him in the midst of my trial. If it pleases him for me to praise him, I need to do it. If it pleases him for me to pray, I need to do it. If it pleases him for me to submit myself even further to whatever it is that have come my way, I need to do it in order to please him. I need to honor him in all my ways. Even though I don't have much, I'm still going to give. Even though I don't look like much, I'm still going to be in his presence praising him. I wish I had somebody in the house. Can you focus when you fall? Many of us can't focus when we fall because we start looking at everything else. We start looking at everybody else who wasn't there when we needed them. Huh? We start looking at how come they wasn't there when we needed them. All they had to do was call. I wish I had somebody. But I'm focusing not on the people, but I'm focusing on the only person that can pick me up out of this miry clay. The only person that can deliver me from wherever I've fallen to. The only person that can reach way down and pick me up and place my feet on a solid rock. I'm looking at him. I'm forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to what is before. And I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high call that is in Christ Jesus. I wish I had a few people in the house that said, I understand that I got to quit looking at my brothers and sisters, my friends, my coworkers, my whoever, my doctor, when he can't help me. Who can I call when I go through? Who can I call when I can't call my lawyer? Who can I call when I can't call my friend? Who can I call when the pastor ain't available? I can call on the Lord and he will hear me and incline his ear unto me and deliver me from all my fears. I wish I had somebody in the house that said, I've called on him and I know he heard me. Now I understand why. I know we don't sing the old hymns like we used to, but I understand why they can say, I love the Lord. He heard my cry and pitied every groan. That gave them some confidence. They said, long as I live, when trouble I'll haste, I'll run to him, unto his throne. We got to have some confidence. The Bible even said, don't cast off your confidence. I got confidence not in me, not in how smart I am, not in how brilliant I think I am, or how good I think I look, or whatever, or how much money I got. I got confidence in him that when I didn't have nothing, it was you, Lord. Oh, yeah. Can you focus when you fall? He said, my brethren, count it all joy. In other words, I need to make sure that I understand that it's okay for me to go through. For the preachers who's been lying to you, for the preachers who's been lying, telling people that they don't have to go through nothing once they get to know Jesus, they're not telling you the truth. Let me tell you something, because you get to know Jesus, you're going to go through. The world is your enemy now. I wish I had somebody. The Bible said when the word of God is planted, that the enemy immediately comes to try to choke it up. So you telling me I ain't going to have to go through nothing? You lying to me. All I can tell you is that it's going to be all right. Because I know that he's the author and the finisher of my faith. That he wrote the book, and it does not matter what happens in the middle of the book. Oh, come on and say amen. Anybody here can agree with me that it does not matter what happens on the in-between. God showed me that I'm coming out, but I don't know what's going to happen in between me coming out. Oh, yeah, come on and say amen. Right now I may be in a high place, but God showed me that I might hit a valley. But look, God didn't tell me how hard it was going to be in the valley, but all I know, somehow I'm going to end back up on the mountaintop, because I'm not going to stay in the valley. I'm going to be like David. Yea, though I walk, y'all don't hear me, through the valley of the shadow of death. Y'all come get with me this morning, because I believe today God wants somebody to be encouraged to know that it does not matter how you begin. It does not matter what happens in between, but he says that he has an expected end for you. Yes, Lord. The in-between. Anybody praise God for the in-between? Yeah, I'm going through some stuff in-between. You got to tell, you got to make sure the devil know, and you got to make sure that the people know when they say, girl, I just don't know. Oh, you're going through. I just feel so bad for you. Don't feel bad for me because I'm just in between. I'm just in between blessings. I'm in between prosperity. I'm in between the anointing. I'm in between what God had for me and what he got for me. Y'all don't hear me now. I'm just in between some stuff. Don't feel sorry for me because what you see now is just the in between. Lord have mercy in here. I'm just waiting. I'm in the waiting area. You know what it is to be in the waiting area? I got patience because once I've been in surgery and I'm in waiting, I'm in between being released from where, oh Lord have mercy. I mean, I'm not as bad as I used to be. God did an operation on me. He worked on me. He fixed me. And all I'm doing now is waiting to be released from this. I wish I had somebody in the house. I'm waiting to be released. Tell somebody, I'm waiting to be released. Oh, hallelujah here. I'm waiting. He says, count it all joy. My attitude, I ain't got to walk around with my head hung down. Yeah, I'm going through, but I can still smile. You just don't know. They don't think you're going through nothing. It's because you still got your head up. It's because you can lift your head into the hills from whence cometh your help. Your help comes from the Lord. And so I'm not worried what man may say or do. I'm not worried about what the devil has to say or do. But I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not to my own understanding. But I'm going to acknowledge him in all my ways. And he will direct my path. I may not be able to see him, but I know he's there. I may not be able to trace him, but I'm still going to trust him. I wish I had some people in the house that say, it doesn't matter what's going on. You know what? We got to understand there's a good thing for God to be silent. And that means that it doesn't mean that God doesn't have some input in your life. It don't mean that God has left your life. What it means is God said, just keep riding. Just keep moving. Just keep doing what you're doing. I don't have to tell you every move. You're wise enough to know that if you just keep praising me, you wise. Look, let me tell you something. Just because you praise him now, that don't mean he's going to pull you out today. But you praise him while you're in the middle of it. Praise him in the middle of it. Praise him while. Oh, come on and say amen here. And so we need to know that while you praise him, he's not going to disturb your praise to tell you to do something else, because he inhabits the praises of his people. He loves to see you praise while you're going through. Oh, come on and say amen. That's why I don't have no problem dancing in advance. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Focus. Focus. I'm going to focus not only on my praising, but I'm going to focus on my prayer. I'm going to get in his face and say, Lord, I thank you. You allowed me an opportunity to come to you because you didn't have to allow me this chance. But I thank you that you can hear me when I call. I'm thankful, Lord God, that the blood of Jesus had paved the way to allow me to come boldly to the throne of grace, that I could obtain the mercies of God. Can I get somebody who else? Anybody ever been to the mercy seat and say, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on me. Oh, we got to understand this. We got to understand that we got to count it all joy. Not if, but when. When you fall into diverse temptation. Now, the word diverse temptation, that means there's many kind, manifold, many kind. All types of trouble, all types of tribulation, all types of persecution. That word temptation is all kinds of stuff that you might experience that may not be favorable for you. Everything that opposes you is a temptation. You're going to go through some stuff. Promise you. Guarantee you. You're going to go through some things. But it does not matter that you go through some things. The only thing that matters is how you go through some things. Lord have mercy. How? Now, I'm not telling you that you won't cry through them, but joy down in your soul. Lord have mercy here. This kind of joy, even when I'm crying, I say, I know it's going to be all right. This kind of joy, even when it doesn't feel all right, I still believe that God has already made it all right. I just got to get to the day that he made it all right. He says, Verse 3, and I'm almost halfway done. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. James echoed what Paul said, that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And Paul said that we have a hope. We have a hope. We, I ain't heard enough yes. We have a hope that maketh us not ashamed. God will not disappoint us. Have mercy here. He said, but knowing this, this is what I know. And sometimes you got to go off what you know. I know that sometimes people tell you things and they say, try this or do that. But you know what? I feel like David, when he was about to go up against Goliath, and Saul says, David, try on this. Put on my armor. This will protect. David said, I haven't proven that. But the one thing that I've proven is that God will. Won't he do it? The one thing I've proven that God will skillfully design a plan for me to come out of this mess, for me to become victorious in my test. I wish I had somebody here. Glory be to God. Knowing this, I know this. Keep this in mind is what James is saying. While you go through, keep in mind the teachings of your trials. That's the second point I want to make. The teachings of your trial. He said that the trying of your faith worketh patience. It works patience. The trying of your faith. Now, somebody asked the question, does God try your faith? Ask Abraham if God will try your faith. Huh? Will God test you? And the thing is, God doesn't test you because he don't know what's in you. But God tests you to develop you. He tests you so that you may learn that you are stronger than you thought you were. He tests you to show you that you may learn that you're able to be able to endure hardness as a good son. So that, when we're tested, although in school we're tested so that we can promote to the next grade, but when you're tested and you pass it and you say, I know I knew this stuff, what happens inside of you? You start getting confidence that, oh, I know that. Come on and say, you don't take the next test not knowing. You don't take the next test saying, I don't think I'm going to pass it. No, I passed the midterm. And if I ace that, I know on the final, at least I can ace the stuff that's on the midterm. I can catch that. Oh, I wish I had somebody here. And if I build some confidence in taking tests and quizzes, that when the final come, I'll pass it. Y'all with me today? He said, knowing this, that the trying of your faith work in patience. And sometimes we're going to be tried. Sometimes we're going to go through things. And the things that we go through, they're going to be there to make sure that we grow through it. And I'm not just going through it. I'm growing through it. Yeah, we got to make sure we learn something from what we go through. We need to learn. In order for us to learn that he's a healer, we got to get sick sometime. Preach. In order to learn that he's a deliverer, we got to be bound in something sometime. Preach. In order for us to learn that he's a friend, sometime we have to be left friendless to understand that sometime. Preach. I wish I had somebody. Put your weight on that now. In order for me to learn that he'll be a mother to the motherless, I had to lose my mother. Now I understand. Y'all don't hear me up in here. Oh, yeah, you better put your weight on this and understand that God can and he will. No matter what the trying of your faith is, no matter what the test is, that God is developing you. He's not allowing you to stay where you are, but you realize that one day you'll realize that you're becoming stronger and you can really, truly say, with all confidence that I'm more than a conqueror because he loves me. I wish I had somebody. I wish I had a few people that say, I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my own testimony. I wish I had a few people in here that said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Do I have anybody that say, I got confidence in the Lord, that I know that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver him from them all. There's joy in being patient. If I can just wait on him. The trying of your faith. We get teaching from our trials. There's value in our trials. They say that a pearl, in order for it to develop in the way, in order for the pearl to develop inside, is for inside the oyster, is for some foreign thing, a piece of sand or something that does not belong. It comes to the oyster and it brings a bit of irritation. And what happens is the oyster, instead of him stressing over it, instead of him, you know, pushing it out, begins to embrace it. And when the oyster embraces it, it creates a hard shell around it, and it continues to grow, and it becomes a precious pearl. Isn't that something? That's why when we have trials, Jesus said, don't cast your pearls to the swine. Y'all with me? Y'all looking at me strange here. We got to understand our trials and our tests that we go through gives us a testimony. Too many of us, we go through tests, but that's all we got. Test means that we've been tried, right? Moaning means to be able to talk about it. Lord have mercy. To be able to speak of it. And so when we have testimony, some of us, we go through the test, but we talk too much about other stuff. We talk defeated. We talk about what we've been through, how bad it was, who did us this, and why they did us that, and I don't like them no more, and all of that. You ain't out of your test, so you ain't got no business talking. Preach. Preach. I'll say amen. We ain't got no business talking because we still talking about who did it and what. We still talking about why they did it, who I don't like, I hate their guts, and I wish they would. I'm going to show them. We still talking about all of this stuff here. So you don't need to talk because you're not out of your test yet. You're still being tried. You're still being tested. And so when you come through that and you say, I forgive them, then you can talk about it. When you come through that and say, now I'm healed, you can talk about it. When you come through and say, I ain't worried about a thing, then you can talk about it. Y'all with me today? When I've embraced it and say, I ain't going to let this thing worry me, but watch how bad, you know what? When that oyster is just an oyster that you can shuck it and take it to shuckers and you can eat it, that's all it is. But when that oyster has a pearl in it, when they open it up, then that thing become valuable. And I want you to know that you're more valuable than something that the devil can eat up. You're more valuable than something that people can just take out. You have some value when you go through your trial. You have some value when you come out. The Bible said that when we are tried, we can come out as pure gold. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. I wish I had somebody in the house that said, I believe that my Redeemer lives. Do I have anybody in the place that said, I'm going to trust God and I'm going to have joy and be patient and wait on the Lord? Because if I can just wait on him, the Bible says, stand still and see the salvation of God. Do I have anybody that said, I'm standing? But better yet, do I have anybody say, I'm still standing? I've been through some stuff, but I'm still standing. I've been lied on, but I'm still standing. I've been buked and scarred, but I'm still standing. I've been talked about, but I'm still standing. Look, they have given up on me. They throwed in the towel. They wrote me off, but I'm still standing because God wiped me off. I'm still standing. Praise be to his name. I'm almost done now. The trying of your faith. Faith and patience go together like hand and glove. Faith and patience goes together like tea and sugar. Kool-Aid and sugar for others. They go together. Because when you have faith, faith, by its very definition, suggests that you have to be patient. All right? Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not. I don't see it, but I got to wait. I got to wait till the manifestation of it. I got to wait for the materialization of it. I got to wait for it to substantiate, right? The substance. I got to wait for these things to happen. And so I must be patient and wait until God does what he says he's going to do. Amen. The acronym of faith, forsaking all, I trust him. Yeah. Faith. I trust him. Nobody else. I don't trust you. I don't trust the banker. I trust God. Amen. Too many people trusting other folks and getting disappointed daily. and your disappointment, it weighs heavily, and you can't have joy because disappointment leads to depression. Amen. Y'all with me now?
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana.